Turn to Jeremiah chapter 18. I'm going to read two verses. Jeremiah chapter 18, verses 1 and 2. It reads like this. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Arise, go to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my words. Have you ever wondered why God told him to go to the potter's house and he would cause him to hear his words? Jeremiah was already listening to his words. God was already talking. So why go to the potter's house? Well, we all know that we learn more from an object lesson than we do from a lecture only. God wanted Jeremiah to see an object lesson, to see a lesson in progress, and to see how this would work. So he did. What was the object lesson that Jeremiah saw? Here's what Jeremiah said. When I went down to the potter's house, he wrought a work on the wheel, and the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make it. And then God told Jeremiah, Can I not do with you as this potter? God is saying, You may have become marred in my hands, but I'm not going to cast you away. I've got another plan in mind for you. I'll just make you another vessel, a vessel of my choice. That's what Jeremiah learned. He learned that the potter had options. As long as the clay was in the potter's hand, he had options. When Jeremiah saw this, he knew that God had options. God said, Can I not do as the potter done? Do I not have options? Can I not salvage this sinful nation? That's why we read in the 29th chapter of Jeremiah, where God says, I know my thoughts toward you. They are thoughts of good, not evil, prosperity, and to give you an expected end. And so it is with you and me. He has options. God uses many ways to talk to his people. Some people claim they've never heard the voice of God. They've never heard Jesus speak to them. And the reason for this could be God is not speaking to them from a source which they expect him to. There are other ways that God gives us an object lesson. In 2 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, in verse 3, I read these words, For as much as you are declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tables of stone, but in the fleshly tables of your heart. God had promised the nation of Israel that he would give them a new heart. Paul goes on to say that you are an epistle read by all men. You can learn a lot from the life of a saint. The life of a Christian is an object lesson in progress. It's a daily lesson that teaches those around them that you can live godly in this present world. The Christian life doesn't depend on circumstances. Living the Christian life doesn't depend on the culture in which you're living. Christians have thrived in every culture in which they have lived, whether they be in a communistic culture, whether they be in a communist country, socialist country, Christianity has always thrived. When I'm speaking on this subject, I'm reminded of an old man who I believe have never heard the Word of God. I don't know if he ever expected to hear God speak to him. His life up to this part had been a failure, according to some people. He had killed a man and was living as a fugitive off of the grid. And to hear him tell it, God showed up on his job and called his name, gave him instructions for the rest of his life. You might remember this man. His name is Moses. You know the story well. Adopted nobility, an Israelite raised in an Egyptian palace. His countrymen were slaves, but Moses was privileged. He ate at the royal table, educated in the finest schools. But his most influential teacher had no degree. She was his mother, a Jewish woman who was hired to be his nanny. I can almost hear her whisper to her young son, "Moses, God has put you here on purpose for a purpose. Never forget Moses," and Moses never forgot. The flame of justice grew hotter until it blazed. Moses saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew slave, and he killed the Egyptian. The next day, Moses saw the Hebrew. Now, you would think that the slave would say, "Thank you, Moses," but he didn't. Rather than express gratitude, he expressed anger and said, "Will you kill me also?" Moses knew he was in trouble. He fled from Egypt and hid in the wilderness, living off the grid. You could call it a career shift. He went from dining with the heads of state to counting the heads of sheep. Moses thought the move was permanent. There was no indication that he ever intended to go back to Egypt. In fact, there is every indication that he wanted to stay right there with his sheep. Standing barefoot before the bush, he confessed, "I am not a great man. How can I go to the king and lead these Israelites out of Egypt?" I'm glad Moses asked that question. It's a good one. Why Moses? Or most specifically, why 80-year-old Moses? The 40-year-old version was more appealing. The Moses we saw in Egypt was brass and confident. But the Moses we see here 40 years later is reluctant and weather-beaten. Had you or I looked at Moses back in Egypt, we would have said, "This man is the man, educated in the finest system in the world, trained by the best soldiers. He had access to the inner circle of Pharaoh. Moses spoke their language, knew their habits. He was the perfect man for the job. Moses at 40 we lack, but Moses at 80, no way. Too old, too tired, smells like a sheep, speaks like a foreigner. What kind of impact would Moses have on a Pharaoh? Moses is the wrong man for the job." And Moses would have agreed. "Tried that once," Moses said. "Didn't work. Those people don't want to be helped. Just leave me here with my sheep." Moses wouldn't have gone, and you wouldn't have seen him. I wouldn't have seen him. But God did. How do you reconcile that? Bench at 40 and suited up at 80. What does he know now that he didn't know then? What did he learn in the desert that he didn't learn in Egypt? Moses learned something about himself. Apparently, he has learned it. God says Moses is ready. God sent him there to teach him something. But now, God is saying school is out. Now's time to get to work. Poor Moses, he didn't even know he was enrolled in school. But he was. And guess what? So are you. The voice of the bush is the voice that whispers to you. It reminds you that God is not finished with you yet. Oh, you may think that he is. You may think he's got someone else to do the job. Think again. God has begun a good work in you, and I am persuaded that he is able to continue this work until it is finished when Jesus Christ comes. Do you see what God is doing? A good work in you? Do you see when he will finish it? When Jesus comes. May I say right here, God ain't finished with you. Your Father wants you to know that. To convince you, he may surprise you. He may speak through a bush or stranger. He may speak through this lesson.